Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Listen, mister, I don't go for this sort of thing. I know a lot of the other girls are turned on by these sort of kinky phone calls, but I really couldn't care less.
I think you are misunderstanding what we're doing here, ma'am. I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick, and this is a podcast, not a dirty phone call, although I could understand why you might be confused. Listen, we're back with some mighty fine sex edge-ucation people. As you know, this podcast series takes a look at the world of fetish sex, kink, alternative sexual lifestyles, and the like. And today's guest adds his unique voice to the chorus of prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles that we have heard from so far. I have the honor of welcoming an extraordinary fellow, Chris Yosef. He and I will be delving into some of the same things that I've discussed with others in this series, BDSM, polyamory, porn, spirituality, and even love, but he speaks from his perspective as a sub in a dom-sub relationship, and that's a first for this series. You won't want to miss a minute of this exceptional conversation. And for an up-close and personal view of my guest and his polyamorous family, check out Chris on his blog, chrisyosef.blogspot.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this fetish and kink series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there at the top of drdickssexadvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab.
How did you, get my room number?
You're just not going to let this go, huh? You'll enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did.
I'm not going to listen to any more of this. I mean, I've had just about enough.
Ma'am, you're just going to have to take your seat because it's showtime. Welcome, Chris, and thank you for joining us here at DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's a pleasure having you, so to speak. How does it feel being had?
Well, first, just let me say I'm a huge fan of yours and the show. So when you Twittered me and mentioned you liked my blog and asked me to be on the show, I was very flattered and quite perplexed, actually. So in this situation and under these circumstances, I'm all yours to be had. Happy away.
Oh, you're so generous. And thank you for those kind words. And, you know, your check will be in the mail soon. So would you like to say hello to the nice people who are listening in?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, nice people.
And you know what? Since this is the sex education series, I'm going to guess that there are a few, if not a whole lot of, pervs out there, too. Would you like to say hello to them as well?
Well, absolutely. I would assume that, you know, considering the nature of the sex education series, that anybody tuning in has a little bit of perv or wants to tap into their perviness. So, you know, hello to the pervs.
So,
or I don't like to use the word perv. I prefer the term, you know, tapping into their inner fetish or maybe even their dark side.
How about kink? Do you use kink?
Yes, kink.
Kink is good. All right.
Kink is good.
Good, good, good. Kinksters, maybe.
Kinksters.
All righty. So it's good to finally connect with you. I've been looking forward to this chat for a while now, and I've been intrigued by you since I started reading your blog, chrisyosef.blogspot.com. At first, you seem to be a jumble of contradictions, don't you know? But on closer inspection, there is actually an amazing symmetry to your life that is very compelling. And
well,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, thank you. That's very cool to hear and encouraging because, you know, I wasn't even sure I was going to publish it at first.
Is that
for
right?
Public consumption.
Uh-huh.
It sort of came about by me asking myself, what can I contribute to the subject matter of mm-hmm. polyamory and BDSM that hasn't mm-hmm. already been touched on
uh-huh.
and explored by people, you know, many who have been on your show,
mm-hmm.
like Monk and Matisse and Max and well, my sir, Tony, and quite frankly, you know, are more knowledgeable on the subject. Then I realized, you know, wait a minute, since 2001, I've been on this amazing journey where exactly at the same time I was starting to explore my, you know, fetish dark side, I was mm-hmm. simultaneously going through this spiritual awakening. And so, you know, it's, I just thought there's my, you know, theme. There's my in for this blog. And Tony was very encouraging. He's like, you know, this is what you need to write about. He's always been very encouraging to the family everyone has a blog in the family or a website.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very personal and honest. And I just started writing and then I couldn't stop. And around that time, you know, I'd always been very fascinated with the whole idea of a paradox and the, you know, what seems like a contradiction. And I'd actually watched this movie called Filth and Wisdom that Madonna wrote and directed, which she explores the paradox of life and insight into a philosophical point of view that we both share, a Kabbalistic principle that out of darkness comes light.
Hmm.
So, you know, at first glance, you know, I do seem like a jumble of contradictions, but it's that same quality that draws me to others and compels me to investigate. And a lot of people will only see the contradictions because society by nature sees the world in such a fragmented and black and white way,
right.
Which is how I saw the world before. But as I talk about in my blog, it's when we discover the gray area
mm-hmm.
that mm-hmm. that what seems like a contradiction it's not at all. Discovering the gray area, you know, for me, allowed me to see the symmetry in what seems on the surface to completely contradict itself.
Right.
A paradox, perhaps.
See how clever you are. And listen, we need to say to our audience from the get-go that when you refer to Tony, you are referring to Tony Buff, the
yes.
porn star, who is part of your polyamorous life, and we're going to get more to that,
yes.
But I just want to give folks that frame of reference at the get-go. So
yes,
your blog's full title is Paradox Boy, Chris Yosef, The Heart and Science of a Kosher Boy's Journey into BDSM, Polyamory, Porn, Spirituality, and Love. You know, the thing is that, just as you were saying there a bit ago, my sense is that people find it so difficult, almost impossible, to put together the notions of, you know, sexuality and spirituality in just the most fundamental sorts of ways. And here, not only are you, you know, trying to make that wedding, but you are doing it, you know, from the edges. I mean, BDSM and polyamory and porn, those are the edges, at least comparatively speaking, to the vast majority of other people who are populating this planet along with us. So my hat is off to you.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, it's just me telling my story, and you know, and I'm actually very pleasantly surprised at the reaction to from people through my blog, and how it's helped them.
Right.
Because, you know, quite frankly, you know, whether you're, you know, playing on the edge or just, you know, in a vanilla type sexual situation, I mean, there is no contradiction. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of people are struggling to come to terms with these concepts, and if any way possible I can, you know, help or inspire them
great.
to see, you know, the connection, then I'm doing my part.
Great. So let's talk about you. How did a nice boy like you get all wound up, no pun intended, in this world of kink and alternative lifestyles? You're not Jewish, so why the kosher moniker?
No, I'm not Jewish, but I've studied Kabbalah for
interesting. Good.
8 years, and basically, you know, I need to sort of backtrack a bit and sort of tell you the story. You know, I met Tony probably about 8 years ago, and up until then, I was, you know, your typical, you know, round-of-the-mill gay boy, and through meeting
with
Tony...
With blonde hair, I might add,
with
right?
blonde hair, yes, which is now gone. So, yes, I met Tony, and, you know, there was an insanely intense connection, and, you know, so through meeting him 7 years ago, you know, I was introduced to this, you know, world of fetish, leather, BDSM. It was all new to me. And so for 3 years we were together, and I was his first collared boy.
Mm-hmm. And could you explain that for, you know, for our audience who is unfamiliar with that terminology, collared boy?
Well, you know, in our particular case, we have a DS relationship, you know, Dom, Sub.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You know, capital D, small S. So, you know, basically he's a Dom, mm-hmm. and, you know, most Doms have a boy or several. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that process is, you know, the collaring, which you wear the lock and chain around the neck, which indicates to the community that, you know, you are property of that Dom. And there's a whole, you know, series of etiquette and respect that goes along with that.
So it's like an engagement ring, only completely
different.
Yeah,
basically. It's basically like the, you know, the BDSM version of a wedding ring, to speak. And, you know, through that process, that was my introduction into the scene. And, mm-hmm. you know, during that 3 years, we had a lot of firsts. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the first time I experienced fisting. It was the mm-hmm. first time I experienced, you know, a lot of the, you know, power play, all that. And I found it very fascinating. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying before, you know, there was this beautiful symmetry going on where just at that time as I was entering into this relationship, which back then I considered, you know, very dark but mm-hmm. intriguing, mm-hmm. you know, it was almost sort of the whole aspect of, you know, it's kind of, you know, forbidden, so that's the attraction.
Right, exactly.
But then again, at the same time, I was going through this whole spiritual awakening where mm-hmm. I just sort of woke up, and I was just starting to ask all these questions. And, you know, is it a coincidence? I think not. But at the time, you know, I was still seeing the world in very black and white, and I couldn't relate the two. As I was getting heavier and heavier into my spiritual studies and practices, I wasn't able to connect the two worlds together. So we made a conscious choice to, you know, Tony sort of uncollared me, much to his dismay, and mm-hmm. let me go. And I actually, for 4 years, went into deep, intense spiritual study and practice. And the first 2 years, actually, I was completely celibate.
Sexually abstinent.
Sexually abstinent. And basically just was completely focused on, you know, the world of the, you know, instead of the physical senses, I was tapping into the opposite.
So you were a monk, basically speaking.
Pretty much, yeah. I wouldn't go quite that far, but, you know, in a roundabout way, I, you know, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after, I would say, you know, the third year, I just really started to embrace, to really get a lot of these concepts and you know, the philosophies and what I was learning in Kabbalah through my teacher, and mm-hmm. just started to see what I like to call the beauty of the gray area.
That's a lovely term, by the way.
Good for you.
I love it. I love to use it, and I love to talk to people about it because, we so many people just see everything in such black and white terms, and it's through, seeing the gray area that we can, really, really have everything we want, and there doesn't need to be any contradictions. And so when I
which
started
is interesting, excuse me for just a second, because
yeah.
I think that from my experience, both as a therapist and as a former priest, I know that most people are uncomfortable with gray. They're uncomfortable, let alone being able to see the beauty of it. So, I mean, you are like way levels ahead of the great portion of people who join us here on the planet. So good for you again. Good, good, good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, most people refuse to see the gray area. You know, people...
Because it frightens us.
It frightens people. It's also, people feel more comfortable. You know, Tony uses this wonderful term called, he calls the majority of the population sheeple. You know, people are much more happy to be sheeple.
Yeah.
And just follow. And, for me, as a, one of the first things that you learn from Kabbalah is, never believe anything, investigate, always investigate.
Right.
Nothing's ever as it seems, so the whole idea of first impressions, so I just, as I was transforming myself spiritually, I was really just, the more I found something to be a little bit terrifying or, sort of out of the norm, I was starting to, I was being drawn to it to investigate.
Right.
And through that investigation, I just started to see that, going back to the whole concept of a paradox, it's like, wow, this is amazing. This isn't a paradox at all. I mean, it's actually quite easy to simulate the two concepts. And so it was during this process, probably, about a year ago, and then I realized I found myself being drawn back into the community, the leather BDSM community. I still hadn't.
It was a natural progression. I mean,
it was a natural progression. This was a part of who I am.
Right.
I have my fetishes and I have my, whatever. I think we all have them. I just, for a while I suppressed it because I was seeing things in very black and white and I couldn't meld the two together. And then,
maybe you needed to take care of some, spiritual business before
Absolutely.
You could get back to the carnal business.
It was my journey.
Interesting.
And it's the journey that I had to take thinking about, here I had this amazing, relationship, DS relationship with Tony, who I considered to be, a very experienced top and very knowledgeable. And coming back into the community, I just wasn't feeling very comfortable with the people that I was meeting. So I just had this desire, I really need to reconnect with him. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to point out that we hadn't spoken or maintained contact for 4 years. So
no,
I had no idea. And it wasn't for any... bad reasons. We just were on our separate paths.
Yeah. And you honored that.
We both honored that. And I was starting to see, he's a pretty enlightened fella. So basically, I decided to write him an email and just basically, I wanted to basically tell him, things that I never got to say when I left, because I sort of left on this journey, and there wasn't really complete closure, which, we came to later find out was there was a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And just really, it was me just wanting to express thanks and for being, an influence in my life. Being back into the community, he instilled a lot of values like safe, sane, and consensual, and a lot of safe practices, which, I kept with me and were still ingrained within me when I got back into the community, and I felt kept me quite safe. So I was quite surprised and elated to find that the next day after sending that email that he had written me back right away and basically knew that, you know, this day would come, and was very excited that it had happened. And basically, in a nutshell, I don't want to get too mushy here, but I don't want to ruin his image, but he was like, I want you back in my life. You're always welcome in any shape or form. So within weeks, we were making plans to spend Christmas together and see each other for the first time and reconnect. And this was this past December. Yeah. So we saw each other for the first time, and it was just basically the energy, the connection was still there. And here I'm now back into this world and back into his life, which brings us to, you know, as you've read on the blog, this new chapter of my life where I'm back in the scene, but I'm seeing things from a completely different set of eyes.
Well, good. Let's use that then as our jumping off point. I would like to turn our attention first to Chris, the BDSM bottom. As you know, you are the first sub to add his voice to this series. It seems like I can throw a dime out of any window and hit a dom who's willing to talk about his or her BDSM life. But subs are hard to come by, so to speak, and I don't know why that is. Can you hazard a guess?
Well,
or?
I know you mentioned that to me before, and first of all, I'm very honored to be the first sub to talk on your show.
You were the first one who said yes.
Well, yeah, and you know
Thank
what?
You.
Honestly, I wish I had a, you know, an answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I'm not really quite sure. Maybe they're so submissive that, you know, they can't speak. Yeah. That's obviously not the case with me.
So let's talk about power play then. You've been involved with this, as you mentioned in your bio just a little while ago, that you've been involved with this for many years, right? And you were introduced to this by Tony, yes?
Yes.
And then you took those years off, and now you are back into the scene. You are predominantly a bottom or a sub or exclusively?
I would say I'm exclusively at this point. I'm predominantly a sub.
Uh-huh.
You know, in our family, and Tony's philosophy is, you know, to be, you know, every top. He never tops a scene that he hasn't bottomed to. And
interesting.
So, you know, we're the consciousness of, you know, our BDSM polyamorous leather family, we're very public, we're very into education, spreading,
you know,
the safe practices and, you know, the whole rack approach, risk-aware, consensual kink, and, you know, so of course, you know, I'm still, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm still experiencing.
Right.
And learning, and so yes, at this point I am predominantly a sub. But
the reason that I go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but that doesn't mean that I don't have a desire to experience it from the other end of the spectrum. I'm not at that point yet.
Yeah. What is it that dictates the roles, the reversal of roles? I mean, switching back and forth. You just mentioned that, and I don't want you to talk for Tony, but you did mention that Tony experiences everything as a sub before he does it as a dom. Yes? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, well, yeah, because I mean, I think we believe that, you know, it just sensitizes you a little bit more to your bottom.
I would absolutely think so.
It's really just exchange of energy. You know, on the physical surface level, of course, you know, there's the whole psychological aspect of, you know,
relinquishing control kind of thing.
Relinquishing control. Right. I'm very much a control freak in my everyday life. So for me to submit and to give myself up and to do it to somebody that I trust wholeheartedly, it's very cathartic, and it's very, very beautiful and spiritual.
I bet.
And there's the sort of whole endorphin aspect of it, but then on the deeper level, there's just this intense spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. Of course, for me, you know, from a Kabbalistic point of view, I mean, this is basically what Kabbalah is all about. So, you know, to me, it just, going back to trying to connect spirituality and this lifestyle, I mean, there's so many similarities and parallels that, you know, I'm constantly having these light bulbs go off. Mm-hmm. It's a process that I'm still going through, and which is why I chose to write my blog, because mm-hmm. it's just this beautiful symmetry between the two, gets talked about. Yeah, so
exactly
I'm glad we're talking about it today, because yeah. hopefully it'll.
Are there people in Kabbalah who don't understand, you know, this, you know, the power play dynamic, and, you know, would perhaps look askance at, you know, someone like you? Because I understand that, you know, there are people in spirituality in all kinds of traditions who, you know, are fine and dandy with, you know, stuff that is not particularly edgy, but you get a little edge to it, and immediately their hackles go up.
Well, yes. But I use the term. I'm glad you use the term people, mm-hmm. Because yeah, there's people who won't understand. I mean, it's a very extreme and very, you know, dark. Some people may perceive it as dark. A lot
in
of
a
people
bad
just,
sort of way. Dark
in a bad sort of way, and some people find it frightening. So yes. You know, of course. But the important thing is that, you know, my Kabbalah teacher. You know, I talked to her about everything. Mm-hmm. I have a few teachers, actually. And, you know, I've never, you know, there's never been a moment where, you know, it's been, oh, well, you know, that's bad. You know, there is no bad or good in Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. There's only, you know, the consciousness behind the action.
I see.
So what's beautiful about Kabbalah is that no judgment. Mm-hmm. Right down the line, there's no judgment. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, when I decided to do the movie with Tony, mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't concerned about what people would think on a physical level. I was more worried about the spiritual consequences. So, you know, I consulted with my Kabbalah teacher, and, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was in place to make sure that the consciousness behind doing this, which, you know, there's going to be people who are going to be like, what? How, you know, how is, like, doing a movie called Fist and Piss, you know, spiritual? But we'll talk about that later.
Yes, I hope we will. So I understand that there are, and I've actually chatted with them, there are professional DOMs, people who not only are dom in their private life, but actually are dominant and have this as a surface publicly. And one of the things that I'm unclear about is there such a thing as professional subs? Do you know of them?
Well, I would assume, of course, there would be professional mm-hmm. subs, but mm-hmm. I definitely think that professional doms are much more common.
Yes, I'll say.
But then again, it's like what you said. Perhaps maybe the professionals are with the other subs, and they're all hiding away somewhere.
But you know, you alluded to this, you know, just moments ago, that you appeared in this Titan movie, porn movie, and to my mind, that is pretty tantamount to turning pro. I mean, you were
yeah.
acting as a sub in that movie, yes.
I was. Okay. Yeah, I guess you could call it. I mean, my consciousness behind it wasn't to be a, you know, porn star per se. I mean, yeah. Tony doesn't like to use the word porn star. He likes to use the term art films. It's sort of like more
a rose, you know, by any other name, Tony.
Yes. Yes.
He's so cute. I love him when he's like that.
I don't think he realizes that, you know, how big of a star he really is. He's
yeah, literally and figuratively.
Reluctant for it.
It's so true.
But, I mean, I guess you could say that I'm not a professional sub on a regular basis, right. But I did, you know, obviously I guess you would say that was, right. You know, I did do the movie. So, and, you know, if the situation arises and, you know, the consciousness called for it and the timing was right, I would probably do it again. On a regular basis, probably not, but... No.
It's a rigorous kind of thing, and you know I know that from being a producer and a director. So, never in front of the camera, thankfully. But so I do appreciate how rigorous it is, you know, to do this. But I'm just looking at the time, and oh my gosh, we are out of time, and I have like pages of questions to ask you yet. May I ask you to come back next
Absolutely.
Week?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool. Because I'd hate to have to leave our audience hanging like this, so to speak, as it were. So until next week, maybe you could give us your website address again and walk us around a bit and let us know what we can find on your blog, and then we'll be seeing you in cyberspace in the meantime.
Yeah, if you'd like to visit the blog, it's www.chrisjoseph.blogspot.com, and you'll find basically, you know, everything that goes on in our family, our story, all the events we attend, all the charity work and the teaching that we do within the community and, you know, outside of the community. I mean, not so much myself, but, you know, Tony travels and my brother Derek travels all over North America doing events and demonstrations and stuff. So
so there's smutty pictures on your site.
There is.
Yay.
If you want the real you know, nasty stuff, you can link to Tony's website from my website at www.tonybop.com. I have to get that in there for him.
Of course.
But yes, I do have pictures. But yeah, my website is more of the connecting the spiritual.
Right.
I always put
a
spiritual perspective on our experiences. So that's probably, if that's what you're interested in, what you will find.
Excellent. So until next week then. Take care and give our best to Tony, and we'll see you again next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for the conclusion of my conversation with Chris Joseph and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
What are you wearing? Jeans? You're wearing jeans? I bet they're tight.
And I also have my stiletto heels on, and they're so pretty, you should see them. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my brand spankin' new sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the My Stockroom tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com.
Yeah. You are an animal!
You're right there. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.